Welcome to Let's Talk, brought to you live by the National Indigenous Radio Service. Catch all the hard-hitting news and current affairs that focuses on all relevant First Nations issues from a First Nations standpoint. This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Just before I start, I would like to pay my respects to the traditional owners on this land we are broadcasting from, and also pay my respects to our elders and also our elders of more recent arrival. I would also a big shout out to everybody around the continent that is taking our program via the National Indigenous Radio Service NIRS or listening via our app, which you can get from most app stores, which is 989FM for the best country, or you can listen to us via our website, which is 989fm.com.au. Good morning to everybody around the continent that is taking our program. It's great to have your company. Joining me on the program this morning, two sisters, Sonia and Auntie Karen, joining us, who have been at court all day, finally got them on the phone, but then also have been on the front line out in Deeping Creek, out in Ipswich, protecting sacred land. The site of an old mission, but then also some significant cultural scar trees, artifacts, you know, some significant sites to the local mob in this area. So just before I start, could the both of you tell us your name and your mob and where you're from?
Hi. Yeah, you going, Bo? Thanks for this. And my name's Sonia Coggle. And I am a Kugel as well, and I am Yagragorumpul Mananjali Ngambari, Southeast Queensland, and yeah, we've been out Deeping Creek campaigning for a while, and thanks for that. Here's Karen, I'll just hand her over.
Hi, I'm Bo, Karen. Yeah, I just wanted to say my respects to everyone, and yeah, it was a sort of really trying day, just sitting around the court a whole day for 5 seconds on to the judge or to the magistrate. Yeah, so
So what was he charged with?
Just got home, And that was for the obstruction that Karen was charged for when she was arrested at the Deeping Creek eviction the other week there. Use my smell and knees and all that. Yeah. Well, she was the only one arrested, I might add. And there's a whole big thing around that too. It's not just like the way the media, you know, just put it out there, like, you know, oh, well, to me anyway. But, and, you know, where it would really make sense, which we were saying about the provocation factor and everything, like, leading up to that, and which led to Jesse actually going up the tree and things. Well, from that short time frame of that, by the time I got to Deeping Creek, I was contacted by the elders in the camp that the police were here and everything. By the time I got now to there and on the site, everyone was starting to be evicted. And at that time, the chainsaws were started up down where the camp. Everyone wasn't allowed back in. The police was in the lineup. And the chainsaw was where the scar tree that was going to chop the main scar tree, which ate everyone in the camp with the bees nesting in the top and all that. And, yeah, just to provoke her, Karen, you know, this is what I'm saying, the way that they, you know. Like, provoke you. They know that by starting a chainsaw on that, which just thing Jesse to jump up the tree, so they didn't. You know, they just think Jesse was, like, just there and being a creep. But, you know, he just went straight up. I don't even know how, you know, that's the second. Anyway, that's what thing to that. And that's why Karen got arrested, because she runs down the chainsaw set up And because she gets the first one who breaks the police line, charges, she gets arrested for that. So she gets chucked in the paddy wagon, and this is the first case in the back of the paddy wagon, 40 degrees here, 12 o'clock in the day, or I don't know, she's boot in the paddy wagon then because she can breathe, and she gets out and walks into the passenger seat, goes to the court. But this was all the, you know, lead up to that entire day of that, how they were treating us and, you know. But, yeah, court was today and when Karen has it, so.
You know how they won't go right through everyone else and it's later in the afternoon. And we're in the court. The magistrate's asking, what do I plead? And she knew what I was there for. And she didn't even do none of the formalities about where you are or who you are or what you do and all that stuff. Like she was, they were dragging every other little case out. And then I just said, no, sorry, I'm not entering into a plea. And then she's going, oh, I'll enter a plea for you. So I said, oh, no, you can't vacate your seat to represent me. So she turns around and says, oh, that's it, I'm adjourning it. And I'm going, no, I just want you to receive this notice here that I've developed for you. And she wouldn't take it. She wouldn't, and I'm trying to, like, grab the bailiff's attention to say, here, like, just take this,
give it to her.
Notice. And, yeah, so I end up giving it to the police prosecutor. And then, yeah, because of the issue, I just kept saying, and before you go any further, you need to address the issue of how you prove jurisdiction. How is British Australia law allowed to, it was justified to put their laws on us, the original sovereign. You know, their constitution's only 1901. Ours goes back thousands of centuries.
Minimal.
Yeah. Yeah, and anyway, are you there, Bo?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so I'm just...
We really wanted that addressed anyway.
Yeah.
That's a good thing because...
Yeah, so that's what she's adjourned it till a couple, month or next month, month after. And she's adjourned it to address
the issue,
issue of jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe? And the obstruction issue. So, yeah, bring it on. We got Queen Victoria's seal to deceiving our ancestors, you know? We're not mucking around here, and this is not just about this, you know, because of what the history of Deeving Creek, okay, which, you know, you'll read nowhere, about how that was the hub of dispossession, stolen gen, stolen identity, stolen wages, you know? That was the hub that founded this state, and they have the records to thing all that these days, but this has only just come about with this entire Deeving Creek, you know. Not only did Queen Victoria, we have her sealed deed, you know, the governor of the colony at the time, and not only that, but even in
this, you get the POP Act going against their own monarchy.
Everything since that, that's what I mean. Everything since that.
But the whole, I put it out in that document. I put it on Facebook there, Bo.
You know, check it out.
And it's all there just questioning the evidence of how there's, you can put your law on a separate people group. And these certain people groups are the original sovereigns to these lands. We mightn't have hierarchy in our communities. We're communal. Everyone's sovereign. And we're all responsible. So that's what makes us the allodial. So anyway, yeah, so we asked just that's what I just sort of went back to was Can you, before we go any further about anything, you have to show that evidence.
Do you think they'll answer it?
They'll try and use native title that we cede our sovereignty. The issue with that, and even the licence and the Medicare's and all of that, you hear all the time. But the one factor that they, you know, you really have to, it's so obvious, is the fact that it's in our land. Whatever's in our land belongs to the sovereign. And that's all we're doing, saying, hey, look out, you know, we've got to acknowledge this issue right here, because under even your own laws, international law, the universal law, your governance has to be based upon sovereignty. And we are not, this land here, we could now call Australia, is not a part of the British Isles whatsoever.
And Deeping Creek is the key to all that. And it's the key to all those ones who are dispossessed, that first point taken. So it's a healing beyond, our comprehension of our old peoples even, that they never ever got closure to, They weren't even, they were that traumatised. Half of the time they didn't even speak of those things. And that's why, what little we heard or we can, recall, crossed over with our own records, and we've addressed that within ourselves, Deeping Creek and all that, because we've had to. We weren't asked if we brought there our peoples. We look at it like that, and we've all seen through this, but we got through this together, Not only that, did our old people bought that in cash, and the transaction was done at the Commonwealth Bank, even. The receipts and that's there, but have they chosen to look at that ever? No.
That's why we want the inquiry.
All of these things that...
We want the inquiry to go through from Parliament. Well, I was hoping today that Michael Berkman raising the issue of Deeping Creek in Parliament was very admirable, and putting our issues to the forefront,
And he's been out to Deeping and Docker and all that.
Yeah, he's been out there a few times. We've met with him a couple of times. So when he raised the issue, that was good of him. My point was that that it's still, our issues are still on the back burner. People don't really see it as serious. And we really didn't get a commitment out of Jackie Trad, on the video, because she's saying that our mob are signed into a CHMP, which is, considered, it's been discussed, but really it's not really
heritage protected site.
But why would we have to get the money to do a cultural heritage management plan for Deeping off the developers, the people that want to destroy it? Why can't that sit, or even Jackie Trad's office? She's, after all, she's the minister, the state minister. Why don't they commit to giving our mobs the money, the finances, to get our own CHMP independent of the threat of developers? It's unreal what pressure they put our mobs through, but they won't help them, won't support them. There's one car out there, only Roberta Graham's car.
Bless her.
So, keep making sure that daily occupy going out to Deeping. And bless them, Shale and Lakina and Jalara and Auntie Roberta and Auntie Faye and all the rest of the fam there. But they're just holding the fort there. But we love it. We do love it. It is amazing, that place. But I don't know why they got to be at the threat or not even the threat. I mean, that's just a bit ironic to have to get a cultural heritage protection, really identifying the real cultural heritage within the place, the spirituality, getting an anthro, anarchy, and even your legals and all that. We're only got these experts to come in and assist us without any finances. I feel our mob carry a burden with, wanting to help them out as well. So But the CHMP is from the developers, and that's what's not fair. It's just not fair on our mobs. That we do want the cultural heritage protection and identified, but we don't want to have to go with the people that we're at risk of. Yeah, intent on. Yeah. Because there's a lot of, there's too much of the environment that's just natural environment still there. And that's a part, big part of our culture. And being the third major city in Australia, you know, having that on our doorstep is amazing.
And that cemetery, before we were at the table, whoever did it, did a electronic survey thing on the ground and determined that it was, mass burial, and we're like, what more do you need, Can we do our own the way we want, ground penetrate and top state of the art, whatever, That's why it just gets really frustrating seeing years later that we're still proven to use who already, he only did that report to approve development and he's uncovered that. Now, that hasn't even been determined if that's a colonial, if that's pre-colonial, nothing. But have the police taken up their part of, if you come across their human bones? No. But have they been pulled over the wrist for not doing that? Since they did that,
and it's all in the cultural heritage act.
It's on the internet. What's up? That's how we found out. Everything's on the internet, not by accessing our own surveyors and consultants. So this is how they really pay our people off, and just to be on top of everything and that. And that's why I have no confidence. But these are the tables we're forced to sit at.
QSNTS has got millions, but yet they sit in our land. That's it. This is our ancestral homeland, and they've never ever lifted a finger there as this. Not even a fund, a meeting for lunch.
Their reports have been proven inaccurate. So they wasted $10 million on a report that was
authorization
grayed out. And we don't get a report research because you blew the budget. See you later. We detached them from our claim. Oh, well, actually, he did that himself. Wait, what's his name?
Kevin Smith, the CEO of QSNTS.
So he wanted to put secondary on the claim.
We tried to use, extortion over our mob. All our mob. Even threatened one of the... what was his name? The
Josh,
the barrister,
Josh,
facilitated the whole authorisation meeting and threatened to throw out Sonia.
Hey, look out! Yeah,
if asking a question, and I couldn't believe that he even thought that. Throwing out a Yagra woman from her own country
for asking a question, yeah.
But they appoint the apicals. It's up to their research, and then they've been proven wrong. They're like, excuse me, why have you got him there? Because I know for a fact that he's on the Mother Street down here, Mullinjali. It's a whole bonnet.
Yeah, the whole QSNTS has been responsible for it. The whole mess, thieving creek, native title,
division among
the whole, all up and down the coast, all in Queensland.
New South Wales, even down to the
Five
Rivers, changed the language names.
They signed off on all of this. They funded a people group that were misinformed or whatever they were believed, but Jagra Darren did sign off on this place. And QSNTS were right behind the whole lot. That's the statutory body.
It's last man standing. You're not going to do the right thing.
And that's it. They authorised all of this. Long before, that's all the funding bodies and that's the authority body.
They are.
That's how this all come to this. They could have retracted it right back. But it is a mess over and over too, it is. But they exclude our mob, they exclude our mob from the areas and then they turn around and put something in its place and then turn around and you about all the significance, and it's not until you, like, it's not until we really got on country did really more came together and more evidences, more testimonies, more people just, you know, all came together there at Deeving because there was so much more connection even into the residents and even the working class. Yeah, they all feel connected. Our residents are, there's a few of them that's flat out leaving there.
I'm missionary.
Yeah, and then we even meet two, two key fellas I met there that were the sons of their fathers who were the missionaries there.
Ain't true.
At Zion Hill, which is like the mysteriousest mission. Well, it's like one of the first, or first. But it was like a giant house or something.
Joining me on the program this morning, two sisters, Sonia and Auntie Karen, joining us, who have been at court all day. Finally got them on the phone, but then also have been on the front line out in Deeving Creek, out in Ipswich, protecting sacred land, the site of an old mission, but then also some significant cultural scar trees, artifacts, some significant sites to the local mob in this area.
1788 down Sydney Cove, first boat people land, and they say, sorry boys, our gain's your loss, we're gonna steal your land. And if you break our new British law, for sure you're gonna hang. Or work your life like our convicts, with the chain on your neck and hands. And they taught us, whoa, black woman, thou shalt not steal. Said, hey, yeah, black man, thou shalt not steal. We're gonna civilize you, black barbaric life, teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide genocide, the hypocrisy to us was real. Why your Jesus said you're supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. We say to you, yes, our land thou shalt not steal. Science and technology, hey, you can make a nuclear bomb. Development has increased its size to 3 million megatons. And if you think that's progress, I suggest your reasoning is unsound. For you should have found out long ago, you best keep it in the ground. And they taught us, oh, black woman, thou shalt not steal. Man, thou shalt not steal. We're gonna civilize your black barbaric lives, and we teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide the genocide, hypocrisy to us was real. Why your Jesus said you're supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. We say to you, yes, white man, thou shalt not steal. Whoa, yeah. Watching that blazing sun go down behind the tall tree and mountain ridge. The land's our heritage and spirit here. The rightful culture's black. And we're sitting here just wondering when we're gonna get that land back. They taught us, whoa, black woman, thou shalt not steal. They said, yeah, black man, thou shalt not steal. We're gonna civilize you black barbaric lives, and we teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide the genocide, the hypocrisy to us was real. Why, your Jesus said you're supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. We say to you, this white man, thou shalt not steal. Keep the forest pristine green. But in 200 years, your materialism has stripped the forest clean. And a racist's a contradiction that's understood by none. Mostly their left hand holds a Bible, right hand holds a gun. And they taught us, whoa, black woman, thou shalt not steal.
gonna civilize you back barbaric lies, and we teach you how to kneel. But your history couldn't hide the genocide, the hypocrisy that was real. Oh, your Jesus said you're supposed to give the oppressed a better deal. We say to you, yes, white man, thou shalt not steal. Whoa, Ireland, you better heal. Whoa, yeah, white man, thou shalt not steal. Whoa, yeah, Ireland, you better heal.
This is Bo Spearham with Let's Talk.
Joining me on the program this morning, two sisters, Sonia and Auntie Karen, joining us on the front line out in Deben Creek, out in Ipswich, protecting sacred land, cultural, scarred trees, artifacts, some significant sites to the local mob in this area. How's everybody at the camp going, knowing the fact that is there the possibility of those coppers coming back in and the developers coming back in, or have they sort of halted and said, oh, nah, you know, like we've got to sort out some other stuff first?
We've got a couple doing patrols and rostered on there that come in as security. And we're still looking for more security because it's a bit out. Mm. Yeah, we're really even asking just like one a night, like, or two a night or whatever. But the women are there like every day. That's like Danny Roberta's crew. And Shale and Lakina and Jalara. And Natalie and her mob, they do sort of like a weekend shoot. And but the men, like we had Sammy and Jazz and Josh and Chris, like these, Fergal and Bill aren't far. Mm. They got a whole heap of followers, but it's a matter of just sort of organising properly. But we'd really like to see a lot more of our black fellows step up for security at DB. That'd be really good because that's where really it's on site, being on site, it's like you could feel it, and that's all you want people to do is just come and feel this,
feel country. Yeah,
a lot of people just passing through, come out,
a lot of them duggers, they don't leave. They sit there and want to go back.
Mm.
And it is because, like I said, the historical factor of being the first place point, they made this great road and Bramble was shortly after leaving. But, you know, even a lot of families find out the true leaving. Because they always thought that was from there, but until they come back to the Deeving records.
When they go check the Deeving records, they think they're from one area. And
there's a whole stolen gem and how these white fellas strategically.
But even if they were from their home, they returned home. And some of them too. But you've got a lot of people coming. I'm here. I don't think I'm hearing the end of these stories. And they're saying, oh, my granny was from here, or great-granny. She came here, and I don't mean to cry so much, but I sort of, where are you? Do you know where they're buried? Where they're rested? And,
well, there's two cemeteries, David.
Yeah, and they don't. They just, that's the last place.
So what's the word from the developers? Like, they haven't said anything about coming back in, or is it the need to obviously have more people on the ground, because if they come back in, they're definitely going to bring more cops?
Well, we're sort of like, there is mention of the police just that don't want nothing to do with it.
Yeah.
Well, after that eviction, they moved us back in, eh?
Yeah, and they sort of really didn't practically said in front of the developer that they didn't have nothing to do with them, and they did come in without a court-ordered warrant. And, you know, used taxpayers' money to fund a corporate developer, capitalist. A capitalist that wants to build houses
on sacred land, yeah.
On a burial ground. We don't. There's not just that one. There might be one massacre site at one period. There's a grave site there that we don't know. And we there's kids also there buried too. And there's not one mother or a child.
Mm.
anywhere on that whole Deeping Creek Mission 9 Mile Reserve. You know, like when you were to come up, Barry, to that roundabout, the last roundabout before you come off like the highways.
Where you turn left and, yeah.
Yeah.
They both came up there.
Yeah. I'm saying, yeah, well, you know that last roundabout.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's at that roundabout there, when you go to the left, that comes up to where the camp is.
Mm-hmm.
If you go right, that goes down to the track, down to the cemetery,
mm-hmm.
and they'd run that big freeway highway, built that straight through the original mission site. Mm-hmm.
The track. The cemetery.
Track to the cemetery. Cemetery, yeah. You know?
And yeah. Their homes were all down that area.
Yeah, they've got pictures and everything, and even measurements of it all.
Close to the burial site.
Yeah.
Yeah, and this is what, you know, just that's why, like, even now we've got to separate the two.
Mm.
Like, you know, take people down there and explain to them why this is like that. And, you know, it's not even like a accessible road or anything from one part to the other.
Mm-hmm.
I've got to say something about our native title applicants. They do get on board for wanting to save the land.
Mm.
Our mob want to all save Deeping. And, yeah, I just, yeah, they like, and even other land areas too, they pull developers up for all our cultural heritage
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, the ones I know of. Mm. But, not that it's a lot either. It's only been a couple of times. But,
like, we've even offered them land swaps, eh? Like, go anywhere else, you know?
And we'll work with you.
Yeah. Mm. Not like we're not fully, you know, not then, because, you know, just too much history there at Deeping.
Yeah.
And it's like, just some things just need to be left untouched, you know?
Mm.
Like, no, we don't want to do a test bit. Can you get that through your thick head? There's non-negotiable, you know? And even though it's in the cultural heritage and everything in that, this is what they used to do.
Mm.
But it's not like it was the first, this is the first, it's in the campaign for Deeping Creek. It's not the first campaign.
And it was
an anti-corporate campaign, really. Mm. It's not the first one.
Mm.
The last time in 85 with Uncle Budger Davison,
yeah,
he turned around and they were planning a golf course. How horrific's that?
Yeah.
You know? Doug Eye's leisure,
and he,
as my auntie Donna would say, Doug Eye's leisure, you know, over burial ground.
Mm. Mm.
And he actually, with his campaign that time, put the cultural heritage on the two sites because of that separated, you know, he did the cemetery and the residential, which is up where the home.
Mm.
And that was back then, and they somehow lifted that and agreed to that when you can Wikipedia that.
Mm-hmm.
There's two Cultural Heritage Protection Acts. One's the Aboriginal Cultural Heritage Protection mm-hmm. Act and the other one's the Queensland Cultural Heritage Protection Act. So that's you know, like there's a sort of like a public one. And there's a Aboriginal one.
Mm-hmm.
So the developers have to abide by that Cultural Heritage Protection Act, which sort of says about securing the whole land,
mm-hmm.
The site, securing with buffers and all this sort of stuff before developing.
Mm-hmm.
That and but and that's what it, yeah, that's what's so sad about this whole issue is that. Is that our mob are pressured into deciding to get that, because they want that acknowledgement and buffers and all that sort of stuff. You've got to get the money off the developers and not all state governments themselves. It's like, after all, hello,
mm.
USNTS, DATSIF, and that's all government.
Yeah,
why aren't they offering the finances to get our cultural heritage protected and secured?
Mm.
But they're not. So
they're ticking the box. To the desecration.
And that's the reason for the occupation. You have to, against the government, you have to go outside of that, and that's where we're a certain sovereignty, really. And then legislatively, they're only required to talk to that native title applicant.
Mm.
But really, we've stepped out and declared sovereignty and had to pull that card to say, we never ceded our sovereignty. The whole leased, treated, any our lands to no one. Mm. And anyway, we might be applicants of native title, but we come under our elders, you know, so we've re-established that tribal council representation amongst ourselves, you know, with the primary and secondary, you know. Saved a lot of time, and it's just truth and honesty amongst each other because we all want to, you know, honour our ancestors and their journeys, and that's what this was about, you know, all that they did to ensure our survivals, especially through the, you know, days. And no one wants to talk about the Black Wars. You know, they're just touching on transgenerational trauma these days and all this.
But even these more people, they call themselves Queenslanders, they don't even know the real history. Like, you was the hardened criminal of Sydney Cove. Irish. Majority was Irish. Sent up here to St Helena's. That many of them had run away from Patrick Logan, who was evil as anything.
Yeah.
And they'd get something like 300 lashes a day.
That's fascinating.
You know, the whole British Commonwealth, really, the whole issue there needs to be rejected from our land. Like what they did to the peoples of Ireland and England and Scotland and bringing people over here because they were starving, dispossessed them, destroyed their identities, criminalised them and demonised them. And that's the same tactics of invasion all over the world. That's the same tactics straight from Rome.
The whole man and truth of the whole lot, the gammon breastplate, all of it all. You know, that's what founded this state.
All of that.
Slave labour. Blackbirding.
Money.
And talking about it now.
Agreement that, yeah, that would get thrown out even in their own system of law. Trinkets and beads stuff and all that.
True as anything.
And manipulation, all manipulation, and true as anything. And then it's, you know, you've got at least four generations since 1820s, or five generations. You can get, since they come up here to these lands, up to Meanjin and Toolma, and they've turned around and twisted, like, you know, naming a whole city after Patrick Logan. You know, like, where's these descendants of these fellas that were at St. Helena's? You know, you need to know your history. You know, supporting all this sort of stuff. That's all psychological damage.
Yeah, 40 lashes in Queen Street Mall. Yeah, that's not normal.
Yeah, my great-great-grandfather, I've got letters about this. Treatment, you know, it's all there.
No wonder they all ran away and lived with the blacks for over 12 years. You know, there was a handful of them.
And this history is all hidden. How they ran away, broke out of jail, turns around and comes and lives with our mobs. All over the place, these stories have happened. And, like, even when that Patrick Logan did come for our mob, they called out to him by name. They even knew him and killed him. So,
fascinated in Yagra country.
Yeah.
Yeah, so somewhere, Deeping Creek, it looks like there was a burial place up a bit further from Deeping where the White Rock, and they had them bury, like, you know, the baskets with bones in the trees. Yeah, that was desecrated, and so down on Deeving, alongside the creek, there's stories of our mob's bones. There's a massacre site there alongside the creek. So, and then there's stories of these kids and like, we've got some names of in the cemetery, but, you know, there was like, there's a few other questions. Yeah. That needs to happen then. It was ongoing ever since they got Deeping Creek going. And Deeping Creek, now we find out that was the model for the Federation, 1901 Federation, and used Deeping Creek as a model for all black missions around Australia.
Yeah, I remember you saying it last time, yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So his collection, Bill Thorpe, which Jack Peterson locked down, Leon, one of the campers, he went into that collection with his widow left, and she's I think it's at the university, and she's sort of caretaker.
Mm.
And, yeah, so he's in there looking at some of the photos and that, and we've had a look at some photos, and, oh, my gosh, like, their photos had been locked down, like, no one's seen.
Yeah, for decades.
Yeah, there's not many photos, but they must be all there.
Mm.
Yeah, it's at the uni there, UQ.
Mm, yeah, it's deadly.
So, but it is so deadly learning our own history.
Mm.
And we want to get the kids all... do some educational programs with them and stuff like that. And then we've got this other stuff with the... You just want the developers to just go away or take another piece of land, you know? Like, I'm sure they got insurance for a bad investment. And, you know, what? Why all these... there's a lot of Doug Eyes that are standing with us, and they're all... and Deeping Creek as a part of their own history as well and heritage.
Mm, mm.
Yeah, and, you know, they, you know, really acknowledging that too, like, want to see Deeping, the whole place, preserved, if not for an environmental issue, a cultural issue. They just, and then you've got people that are saying, no, it's just not right, you know, it's just a justice issue.
Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What do we got, really, you know?
Hmm.
All over Australia, what we really got, you know? And this is just one strip. Sonia's favourite line's a drop in the ocean from what you took.
Oh,
yeah.
Definitely.
You look around and you just look at...
what they've destroyed.
Since arrival, because that's all we're thinking in that, you know? And, well, now you know why your people were rounded up from there. What the, you know, economic... benefit was for them.
It was. I was reading that today.
Oh,
out of that book.
God.
You know, that's what they calculated first, was the money factor, how much money we can make on their labour, the slave labour.
Mm.
Like, the bayers were like king bayers, you know?
And then our mob turned around and became, there was, like, you know, five or six great, but most of them were skilled up, were labourers, sports people.
There was an era of
political, they learned to read and write.
Too good.
Yeah, they got really good. And
they were too deadly and married into them.
And it must have been appeared, it really does stand out that our people, being a dynamic race, are really advanced.
Mm.
And that was a big threat.
Mm. All of that, you know, and this is what we've... Yeah, you know, just saying with the whole Missions Australia too, you know, like, just since we've, you know, networked around Mirrabooka and met La Perouse, Miles, you know, even down Maurice, Silent, up north, ever since that's happened and that, we've all, you know, I think La Perouse has that same Queen Victoria
feel. Yeah, it does.
So it is impacting, and, you know, hopefully
one more
set of precedents for all those places, because, you know,
but the fact is, there is a hidden history.
Yeah.
It's like, it's deliberate. This
education,
is the issue, is that it's really, really deliberate.
Mm-hmm.
And you think, we've got so many people that are in, you know, like, right there at the decision-making table. What the hell's going on?
Mm.
You know, we've got a lot of, we've got family there, and, you know, families, and, you know, like, the system is really, you know, I don't know if you're saying, like, stifle or whatever they're doing, whatever's going on, it really makes you wonder where our mob are at.
Mm.
And so, like, even... you know, with Jackie Trad saying that today in Parliament, like, that's the first time I heard her say that publicly.
She wants to sit down and have a yarn, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's on tape now, so.
Oh, it's on tape now?
it's on the video, like we saw it. So, you know, like not like she can't not, you know, come have a conversation or sit down now, or not say, you know, she didn't say it on that from that video.
Yeah.
Hmm. Hmm.
Yeah.
So what? So what's I guess just in wrapping up, what's next then for the camp?
I can't stop saying that, you know, we really need to assist them. We do mm-hmm. really need support with conferencing and, you know, properly informing and consulting our mob. That is so important. We don't want nobody left out. We value our people. And, you know, like, and having specialists in our field that we, you know, like, you know, our mob, we've got our own rapport with certain, you know, people outside our mob. So we'd have, you know, like invited guests or whatever, and nominated spokespeople from their own communities or family groups or tribal groups to discuss our own agenda for once in history. You know, without a corporate agenda, without a religious agenda, without a sporting agenda, without a business agenda, you know, all foreign agendas, without that, just ourselves as original sovereigns to these lands, you know, to nominate, have our own, nominated representatives with their elders or seniors, you know, like I just don't want to, because there's a, you got seniors and then you got, we've got our own systems where you've got people that sort of have this own role that they sort of are advanced in a bit better than others, even though they're whatever age they are. And you've got your wise ones, the elders, that are overseeing matters and bring things to the attention if things aren't running properly.
Yeah.
Anyway, but we want to conference our own stuff out for once on country somewhere, you know, like we really need to be able to bring our mobs together and fully inform them where they're at and what kind of direction we'd have concerning all our land, you know, all our lands, or all those that really want to defend their land. And because we're all the time, ever since I could remember, even as a young person, the word activism, always has this negative connotation to it, sort of like
troublemakers. It's
always sort of looked at, viewed at as, you know, really far left, you know? It was looked down upon. You know, there'd always be one out of a family of 20 or 30, you know?
Yeah.
And or a couple of them, you know, when you got your mob going this other direction. But it's not about activism or more like assimilating. It's more about coming together and just really reinforcing your true identity and nationality and heritage. That reinforce it. So when your foundations are strong in your natural self, when you're established and your foundations are pretty solid with your identity and culture and heritage and who you are and where you're at, and you can decide on a future and have a vision and follow through with that without dysfunctioning and being susceptible to, you know, like everyday sort of traumas that gets inflicted a lot under the system. But that's what we want to do, is just that, just reinforce who you really are, because this other, you know, two-century-old colonist nationality is not really you as a First Nations person, as a first original sovereign. It's not really you. And it's about, you know, like you've got a lot of fair fellows too. They might be, you know, like, got a great grandmother, he might be native. They will, you can't help what you're feeling here. Like, honestly, Britain, when they came here,
they assimilated into a black continent. It's in the DNA of these lands, the grass, the trees, the water, the creeks, the oceans. It's a black continent. And they can't help but feel the way we feel. And it's just a matter of that like that, being open and reinforcing those identities within with one another instead of this racist attitudes or fear and dividing, the division.
Yeah, dividing.
Yeah. You know, we're all suffering at the hands of the aristocracy, Commonwealth aristocracy that's, you know, penetrated a lot of people's homelands everywhere.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Even if they're not even a Commonwealth country, true, they got they're in there too. Same thing. It's the same setup. It's like that there, what they say, the 1% of the world's population owns 90%, 99% of the world's wealth. Yeah. And it's not, and you know, like when you get back to country too, as honestly, you don't even feel boxed in. That's what I feel out of Deeming. It's just like this real spirit of liberation, like a real freedom. And knowing that you've got connection there but not even that you've got connection there, like even knowing this heritage is amazing. First time our mobs grabbed a cricket bat, you know, in history to play that English game.
I'm a number of sports person.
Yeah, definitely, yeah. We're just getting to the end of the program here now. It's almost like 50 minutes here now that we've yarned for. Didn't mean to cut you off, Aunt. But I just want to say a big thanks as well for coming on the program and having a yarn this morning. Didn't mean to cut you off. But would love to get you back on again and definitely have more of a yarn about this and see how we can support more out in Deeming Creek as well, especially with hopefully we can do a call out for some patrols to get some more men and more volunteers on the ground, especially when, you know, if there's the chance of developers coming back in as well.
Yeah.
But no, big thanks for that.
And
Bo, yeah.
I do want to do just a bit of a like shout out to like, you know, like there's an opportunity there, you know, it's never been there for years and they can come out and, you know, meet with family and friends and extended family that you even might meet for the first time. This all goes on there and histories, people's histories is all coming there. And that's black and white too, just slightly. And the kids really love it. You know, they made a pontoon the other day.
Oh, bless them, yeah.
Found a water hole.
They got found the water hole, local water hole, and they made a pontoon watching YouTube and
deadly.
Put a plastics and got a crate and, yeah, they got that for, yeah, black kids again. And it's a real great place to come out and learn, just yarn. Our more oral historians, you know, they know the histories and, you know, it's bigger now, you know, because we're up into 2019 and the, you know, the whole histories and you hear all these different stories and it's really, yeah, it's pretty, it's really good because a lot of the people, I sort of think of it as the Deeming bug or, you know, Deeming does mean mosquito. But people don't want to go. They come there and they love the afternoons. That's beautiful. The mornings are beautiful too. But the afternoons, when you're sitting there in that gully breeze, it's a gully we're in, and in the late afternoon with the fire, it's real lovely.
Oh, it's deadly.
And all love to the Deeming Creek mob standing strong there out there, Shailani, Roberto, Anifay,
definitely.
Dina and Jalara.
Residents and volunteers.
And all the residents and volunteers too. Just want to do a shout out to all them love and strength, and hopefully catch up with you all tomorrow.
Well, all good. Now, big thanks out there, and definitely get you back on the program and have another yarn. Big thanks and big shout out, like you said, to all those volunteers and all those strong women out there that's always on the front line out there. Big thanks.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Bo.